Hey guys, this is David Avalon with the Breaking the Guard podcast. Before we get started, I just wanted to remind you all to check out davidmma.com. That is my new website where I've been posting all of my technique videos, philosophy videos, articles covering all sorts of topics from diet, nutrition, fitness, news, etc. We also have new courses there. We just finished filming the Head Inside Single Leg series. And we also did some MMA takedowns. And you can check out the site by going to davidmma.com. And you can register for a free account, which gives you access to four courses for free and a bunch of the articles and videos. So go ahead and visit davidmma.com right now and start learning. Hello, and welcome to the Breaking the Guard podcast. I'm David Avalon, and let's get to the news. I just came back from the ADCC West Coast Trials, and quite a phenomenal show. The level of talent was super high. So I'm just going to spend this episode talking about it. This is very fresh in my mind right now. And my phone's making messages as well. So overall picture, as far as the trends, was once again, leg locks were very hot. I mean, just about every match in the opening rounds was a leg lock. And I'm not just talking about heel hooks. There were straight ankle locks. You know, there was A blocks, which is a very cool leg lock that is attributed to Abraham LaMontagne, one of the guys from New Wave. I got to meet actually a few years back, and he does the donkey guard or reverse close guard, however you want to call it. And he's able to get like a really unique toe hold. It's not quite a toe hold. It's a little bit different. And there were at least three finishes, including a finals finish using that lock. So and knee bars, I mean, there were all sorts of leg locks. I was surprised because I know like sometimes leg locks are in and then they're out. They were very in on this trials. A lot of shots for takedowns. The other thing I would say that was different was when it went to the final rounds, no leg locks. Lots of chokes. Guillotines and rear naked chokes were the main threats. A lot of back taking on the finals. And maybe not too surprising because the way the rule set changes where there's no pulling guard anymore. So it kind of ends up people shooting in and then it's getting sprawled out and the back gets a little more exposed. But that's overall pictures of what I was seeing. Now, on to some specifics. Again, if you wanted to see the ACC trials on Flow Grappling, don't listen to me right now because I'm going to spoil everything for you. All right? But spoilers. First of all, in the women's division, 55 kilos, Jasmine Rocha won. And I thought this was a great matchup because it was a rematch. She was going, I believe, if I got her name right, Alex Enriquez, who was a really tough grappler. And they had faced each other before, and Alex had won the match. So this is a rematch, and this time Jasmine got one over on her. A very good finish to the match. She got to the back, you know, towards the end of the match and was able to, she was very close to threatening with a rear naked choke, but she didn't quite get it, but she still managed to pull out the W. And I always, you know, I think it must be an awesome moment for Wagner Rocha, her father, who's a coach, who's also an ADCC medalist multiple times. That must be one amazing experience for him. So congrats to their family. On the 65-kilogram division for women, Helena Kravar won. And she is now the youngest athlete to enter the ADCC World Championships. I believe now she's 17, maybe 16, somewhere between there. Phenomenal. You know, and she won with a submission, very dominant throughout the whole tournament. And she's wised up a bit. I know the last trials that I saw, she made like tactical errors by like pulling guard and getting a minus point and losing because of that. So the more experience she's gotten, clearly she's sharpened up her game quite a bit. She's going to be a huge problem for anybody. And moving on, 65 kilogram for women, what a plus rather, was Elizabeth Mitrovic. She was going against Amanda Levy, and it was actually a really good match. It went into overtime. They were battling back and forth, but unfortunately, Levy got injured. Something happened where she misstepped, and her knee just buckled, and you could see that she lost her balance, and then she just ended up pulling guard and just tapping out because, unfortunately, her knee was way out. You could even see her knee was completely red. I'm not sure if she stepped and her knee hyperextended or she twisted, but it was definitely a knee issue from what I could see from Matt's side. So that's unfortunate, but I mean, congrats to Elizabeth because she was doing a great job. It was a 0-0 match either way, so just unfortunate to see someone get hurt accidentally like that. Moving on, 66 kilo division for men. You had DeAndre Corbett win that division against Keith Krikorian. A bit of an upset, and he actually won 0.60, so he clearly, you know, took control of the match pretty early. The thing that was interesting, maybe a little sad, was that DeAndre Corbett actually had to beat his brother in the semifinals to advance. A little bit of bittersweet to have to beat your own brother off for a chance at the World Championships. But at least he made the most of it and got in, so congrats. Andrew Tackett is a 77 kilogram and under. He went against Oliver Taza, and this was a pretty heated match. I'm a little bummed because I was rooting for Oliver. I actually had him staying with me here, and he was doing all this prep. So I was really looking, hoping for him to pull out the W. But Andrew looked amazing. He did a really good job. They had a lot. It was probably the most contested and exciting match, in my opinion, because there was a lot of back and forth. And there was zero stalling. I mean, these guys were both going at it. Tackett had some good opening exchanges, and they would end up countering each other quite a bit. One of them would set up a motion, one would counter, and one would counter, and then they would just escape and no points. But the telling sequence was, towards the end, I think Andrew went for a shot, and then Oliver countershot, got in on a single, and I believe, if I remember correctly, Andrew rolled through like a bolode to get to the back and was able to secure the back mount and get 3 points. And despite Oliver's best efforts, he could not just free himself in the back until the very end, but it was a little too late. And he wasn't able to recover the points. But amazing job by Andrew Tackett. A really good gamer. And, you know, congrats to him. And in the 88 kilograms and under, his brother, William Tackett, ended up winning that. Again, another cool story. You know, I have a brother that grapples. So having both brothers qualify at the same time, back to back. Again, another awesome family moment. And you could see they were all celebrating. So what an amazing moment for the both of them. But William looked phenomenal, and he was going against Andy Varela. I got that one mixed up, not Andy Varela. That was actually Andrew Tackett had beat Andy Varela to get into the finals, which, and again, another impressive win because Andy is just a machine, really tough grappler, and he was able to beat him as well. But William Tackett won the 88-kilogram division under. Then there was the 99-kilogram division, Michael Pixley. This one, it was a little, a little iffy. Great match. I mean, Pixley's super good wrestler. The guy he was fighting at one point, they went back and forth. Like, Pixley was dominant for most of the regulation of the match, getting a lot of near pass. Like, in the beginning, he did get a takedown to North-South, but, you know, it's no points in the beginning, so that didn't matter. And in the scoring period, he nearly took his back a bunch of times, but his opponent was able to fend him off. But at the very end, his opponent actually took him down, and he was trying to switch to come back to like counter it. But he was on his butt for like at least 5 seconds, and no score was given to his opponent, and the buzzer hit right there. So a little iffy. I'm not sure. Because I know what I read from my understanding of the rules is that if someone hits their butt or their back from a standing position and is held for at least 3 seconds, it's a takedown, unless there's a submission attempt going on. And as much as I love switches, a switch is not a submission attempt on its own. I mean, it has to be really deep before you get threatened, like the reverse arm lock style pressure, you know? And it wasn't there, at least from my eyes. So I'm a little curious on that. But in the overtime, Pixley did enough to get the W, and he ends up becoming the champion. And then finally, one of the more interesting matchups, in the 99-kilogram division, Mike Perez won that division. If you know who Mike Perez is, he's probably about 180, 190 pounds. And he was fighting a mountain of a man from B-Team. His name slipped me at the moment. But he must have been at least 240 plus and maybe a foot and a half taller than him. So it was a real size mismatch, a David versus Goliath moment. But Mike controlled that fight, to be honest. He had the better bites, had a deep guillotine at one point, was able to stuff all the shots and get into front headlocks. And he made the big guys look bad that day. You know, he tore through that division and earned his spot in the 99 kilo division. So kudos to him. You know, that's tough. Going against guys that skilled that much bigger than you is impressive. And he shows his level of technique, was able to overcome the size disadvantage, and as well, his explosiveness. So again, congrats to Mike Perez on pulling that off. It'll be interesting to see who they match him up in the world championships. Because it's going to be a hard run, but at least he only has to go through four guys instead of like the seven or eight that they had to do through in the trials. You know, so now those are the eight new trials qualifiers. And man, the talent pool is really deep. You know, when I look at the type of matches that are happening in these trials, a lot of them could easily be world championship fights, right? So it's a bit of a bummer that some of these guys don't get the shot to be at the world championships. You know, and I know some of them, so of course I have some familiar attachment to them, but it's only going to get harder. You know, I feel like the world championships, especially these trials, are just going to be so tough that to get through them, you're going to have to be a monster. And some of the old timers that are hanging around, or people that were getting in from previous tournaments, I think are going to be in for some rude awakenings when they face these young lions, because they are hungry and very skilled. I do think that the leg lock game is still going to be a big thing. Now, a lot of people who are well-versed know how to nullify it. And we did see quite a bit of that. And a lot of people trying to counter the leg lock game by doing bolos and going for the back. So there's a lot of tumbling going on. You know, I'm not a big bolo guy. I consider myself a good leg locker, but I'm not playing the crazy leg locking game quite as much as some of these people are, who are just going to firefights, just trading leg locks back and forth. I'm always somebody who likes a one-sided beatdown. So if I'm going to get into a leg entanglement, it's going to be all on my terms and not giving anything away to my opponent. That's why I like Kimura so much, because Kimuras are pretty one-sided when you control them well. But overall, a great show, and makes me more excited for the World Championships coming up later this year. And I'll look forward to seeing once they finalize the brackets as well. You know, I was going to try to do a prediction of these trials brackets, but when there's 256-man brackets, I'm like, there's no way I can make an intelligent, informed decision, because there's just so many people here, you know? And not everybody's seeded or ranked yet, and all because they're not seeded doesn't mean they're not good. It's just like, there's just too many people. So, but when they do the 16-man for the World Championships, that I would like to make predictions on and see how they come through. But I will say this, as far as, you know, overall message of the day, what I found watching these matches to still be very, very important, which should come to no surprise, is conditioning. And a lot of these guys' conditioning level was pretty fantastic. But on the heavier side of guys, you could definitely see some of them start to slow down quite a bit in the later rounds. They started giving stuff away. Some of them making tactical errors. So even without all the technique and the strength, to me, especially in these long-form tournaments, stamina is king. And if you have disparity of skill or disparity of strength, utilizing stamina as a weapon is a fantastic way to equalize the match and put the odds in your favor. So in the finals, we didn't see too much of it because I think most of these guys who made it to the finals were already stamina kings because they already went through at least 6 matches to get there. So you're not going through 6 matches without having a serious gas tank. But leading up to it, I did see quite a few people who were getting head snapped and tied and snapped straight to the ground after being like really fatigued or just getting sprawled out on a shot and not having anything to pop back up or, you know, peek out. So if you're one that's a little slow in the technique game, or maybe you're slow, like you're not that fast, if you can wear someone out, you can definitely take advantage of their conditioning and use that as a weapon. I know I've talked about this before, but I have used that quite a bit myself in my career when I was facing bigger guys or people who are a bit more technical, and I made it a scrap instead of a chess match. And that can definitely sway things in your favor. But these final matches were all very technical. And they were a very good watch. I'm going to have to go through them a few times to give you guys some more. But again, leg locks are still in, guys. So if you were hoping that there would be a season of no leg locks, sorry to tell you that it's not the case. But back taking is always in. And it was, again, in this finals, a very important factor. I believe at least 2 of the matches were won by back takes, if not 3. My memory's fading me a little bit now. But yeah, great show. Again, I'm super excited to see the next one. And I'll cut it short here because I'm starving. Got some smoked ribs. And I'm going to dig into those now. But I'll see you guys next week. And hope you guys had a wonderful Easter.
Thanks, guys, for tuning in. I hope you enjoyed the episode. As always, please share, like, comment, all that good stuff. And help us spread the word about Breaking the Guard. And of course, visit the website davidmma.com. Join. We actually host a podcast there as well. You might be seeing this, you know, on Spotify or some other podcast platform. But we do have the video hosted on davidmma.com, which is free to access. You don't have to enroll. So if you want to get it in video format, you can take a look at davidmma.com. Besides, that's where we have all the techniques, all the courses, all the other stuff that you've come to expect from me. You can get it at davidmma.com.